ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய. ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய. ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய. Today we continue reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter 2. Maharaj Nimi meets the 9 Yogindras. Text 30.
Atta ajyantikam shemam.
Atta ajyantikam shemam.
Richamo bhavato naga. Richamo bhavato naga. Samsaresmin shanadopi. Samsaresmin shanadopi. Sasanga sevadirninam. Sasanga sevadirninam.
Therefore, ajyantikam, supreme, shemam, good, prichama, I am asking, bhavata, from you, anaga, O sinless ones, samsare, in the cycle of birth and death, Asmin, this, Shana Ada, lasting only half of one moment. Api, even, Sasanga, the association of devotees. Sorry. The association of devotees of the Lord. Sevadi, a great treasure. Ninam, for human beings. Translation. Therefore, O completely sinless ones, I ask you so to kindly tell me what the supreme good is. After all, even half a moment's association with pure devotees within this world of birth and death is a priceless treasure for any man. Purport. The word sevadi, or the great treasure, is significant in this verse. Just as an ordinary man is overjoyed to discover an unexpected treasure, one who is actually intelligent is overjoyed to gain the association of a pure devotee of the Lord, by which one's life can easily be perfected. According to Sri Jiva Goswami, the words ajyantikam shemam, or the supreme good, indicate a situation in which one cannot be touched by even the slightest fear. Now we are entangled in the cycle of birth and death. Cycle of birth, old age, disease and death. Samsara. Because our entire situation can be devastated in a single moment, we are constantly in fear. But the pure devotees of the Lord can teach us a practical way to free ourselves from material existence and thus to abolish all types of fear. According to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, normal etiquette would dictate that the host immediately asks a guest who has arrived about his well-being. But such an inquiry is unsuitable to place before self-satisfied devotees of the Lord, who are themselves the bestowers of all well-being. According to Sri Vishwanath, the king knew that it would be useless to ask the sages about their business affairs, since the only business of the pure devotees of the Lord is the achievement of the supreme goal of life. According to Bhagavad Gita, the goal of life is to free oneself from the cycle of birth and death and reinstate oneself as an eternal son of God on the platform of spiritual bliss. Pure devotees of the Lord do not waste their time with ordinary mundane affairs. Sometimes foolish relatives of a Vaishnava preacher lament that such a transcendental preacher has not used his life for material business, and that so much money has therefore been lost by the practice of spiritual life. Such ignorant persons cannot imagine the unlimited prosperity available on a spiritual platform to those who have surrendered heart and soul to the mission of the Lord. King Nimi was himself a learned Vaishnava, and therefore he did not foolishly ask the sages about ordinary worldly affairs. He immediately inquired about Ajantikam Shemam, the highest, most perfect goal of life. According to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the word Anaga, O sinless ones, has two meanings. Anaga indicates that the nine yogindras were themselves completely free of sins. It also indicates that merely by the great fortune of seeing them and hearing from them submissively, an ordinary sinful man could also be freed from his sins and achieve everything he desired. One might object that since the great sages had just arrived, the king should not have been so impatient as to inquire from them about the perfection of life. Perhaps the king should have waited until the sages themselves invited his inquiry. Such a hypothetical objection is answered by the words Shanadopi. Even a single moment's association with pure devotees, or even half a moment's association, is sufficient to give one the perfection of life. An ordinary person who is offered a great treasure will immediately desire to claim such a treasure. Similarly, King Nimai was thinking, why should I consider myself fortunate enough to have such great sages stay here for a long time? Because I am an ordinary person, undoubtedly you will soon be leaving. Therefore, let me immediately take advantage of your holy association. According to Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, in this world there are different varieties of mercy. But ordinary mercy cannot bring about the cessation of all unhappiness. In other words, there are many humanitarians, altruists, and social reformers who certainly work for the betterment of humanity. Such persons are universally considered merciful. But in spite of their mercy, humanity continues to suffer in the grip of birth, old age, disease, and death. I may distribute free food to the needy, but even after eating my merciful gift, the recipient will again become hungry, or he will suffer in some other way. In other words, by mere humanitarianism or altruism, people do not actually become free from unhappiness. Their unhappiness is merely postponed or altered. King Nimi was joyful upon seeing the Nava Yogindras because he knew that they were eternally perfect associates of the Supreme Lord. Therefore he thought, you are not prone to sinful activities like unfortunate mundane people such as me. Thus, the words you speak carry no deception or exploitation. The materially conditioned souls spend their days and nights discussing various topics of sense gratification. They never find time to hear about transcendental knowledge. But if even only briefly or accidentally they hear Harikatha, topics of Krishna, in the association of pure devotees of the Lord, their propensity to suffer in material existence will slacken. When one sees liberated persons, hears about Krishna from them, remembers their saintly behavior, and so on, one's tendency to bind himself in the illusion of sense gratification is diminished, and he becomes eager to serve the Supreme Lord. Atta ajyantikam shemam prichamo bhavato naga samsare smin shanadopi satsanga sevadiyo ninam. Therefore, O completely sinless ones, I ask you to kindly tell me what the supreme good is. After all, even half a moment's association with pure devotees within this world of birth and death is a priceless treasure for any man. Amma jnana timnandasya gnanjana salakaya shaksumletam yena tasmai shri garave namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaptale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namne Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nivisesa Sunyavadi Vasichade Shatarine. So, it's once the people are meeting all the time. everywhere. But when they meet, what do they discuss? They mainly discuss about body and the mind. That's the discussion that's going on. And that is how Shukadev Goswami replied to the questions put forward by Maharaj Parikshit. When Maharaj Parikshit was preparing to leave the body in 7 days, Shukadev Goswami came along and he inquired from him. So what are the duties of a man who is about to die? What should he hear? What should he chant? And what should he remember? And immediately Shukadev Goswami praised him for his questions. He said, your questions are very glorious, because answers to your questions is not only beneficial for you, but also beneficial for everyone. He said, generally, people, they are only interested in just topics of the body and the mind. Like the animals, when they come together, I've gave this example before, in the house where I live up, where I grew up, just outside the house there is this electrical wires, many of them, just, you know. And in the evening, all these birds will come, park on these wires, and right up where the second floor will be sleeping. And all night they will be chirping, 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 chirping. After a while you get used to it. No, it begins to just drive you crazy. Chirping, chirping. What do they talk? Hey, do you find any worms today? Yeah, I found a big fat one. Where do you find it? I'll go there tomorrow. That's what they talk about. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. And they're chirping all night, just talk. Very serious talk. And some people come together, they like to talk politics. They try to talk about all the world affairs. I remember one devotee, he told me that that was his hobby and pastime. Every day he would park himself in a cafe. And people would come and talk. And he would feel very proud when he's able to display his knowledge of the world and able to defeat people. Whether it's philosophical discussions or world affairs or economical affairs and stock market, anything. Just all day he would just sit there, drink cafe and just coffee and just talk. So this is how people waste their time talking. And also when they meet, oh, how are you? How is your body? Again, it's the same question. How is your body and how is your mind? That was why Sri Vyasadeva, despite compiling all the Vedas, Upanishads, immense amount of work was put, he was still feeling despondent. So he was sitting by his ashram by the Saraswati. Narada Muni came along. And this, you see, that's guru, what guru means. Guru understands the mind of the disciple. He understands you more than you know understand yourself. He knows more about you than you know about yourself. So when Narada Muni came along, what was the first question he asked Vyasadeva? He said, my dear Vyasa, how is the body and your mind? So indirectly, he's indicating to Vyasadeva, this is the cause of your despondency. This is the cause of your dissatisfaction. Yes, you have done a lot of work. Compared to Vedas, to Upanishads and all that. But what are these books dealing with? What are the subject matter of these books? Body and mind. Fruitive activities, mental speculation, all relating to the body and mind, and therefore you are not feeling satisfied. And then I said, therefore now you should just describe the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his pastimes. So Vyasadeva said about writing Srimad Bhagavatam, the commentary to the Vedanta Sutra. Because in Bhagavatam he said, Savai Pumsam Parodamo Yato Bhakti Adoshaji Ahaitukiya Pratiyata Yatma Subhatsidati. Whatever activities you may be performing, whether it may be fruitive activities, mental speculation, or even religious activities, If that activity does not bring one to the point of serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead without any motivation and without any interruption, that activity does not give satisfaction to the soul. In other words, only activities that are meant for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord and is done without motivation, ulterior motivation, or done without any interruption, then that activity will fully satisfy the soul. So, King Nimi, being an enlightened soul himself, and when the Nava Yogindras came, immediately he was so eager to inquire from them, what is the supreme good? No small talk. Someone from Prabhupada said, what is this useless question? How are you? What is this, how are you? If we are in illusion, we think I'm fine. If we are not in illusion, we know we are not fine. If you go to visit someone in the hospital, his leg may be hanging up there with plasters, he's plastered all over. How are you? I'm fine. Isn't that a standard answer to all these questions? How are you? I'm fine. So it's pretty useless question. How are you? So, no small talk. And this also shows the eagerness of King Nimi to really benefit from the association of the pure devotees like the Nava Yogindras. This is the quality. This is actually the key. The passport to the spiritual world. Laoyam. Rupa Goswami said that you cannot purchase Krishna Prema just by going to the marketplace. It cannot be purchased by years and years of fruitive activities and pious activities or religious activities. There's only one price to pay, and that's Laoyam. Intense eagerness, intense greed. And he said that if you find this commodity in the marketplace, you should be willing to pay any price. Don't even negotiate. Don't even wait. Sometimes you wait, especially if, for example, if you're going to buy a budget from the budget airline. Right? And you thought, maybe I'll find a better deal somewhere else. The next moment you come back, the price gone up. And the price keeps going up. That's how these budget airlines work. It keeps going up. So when the commodity of Krishna Prema is available, one should be willing to pay the price, any price. And that is the kind of greed we should have, the intense eagerness to get Krishna. So King Nimi is very eager to benefit from the association of Nava Yogindra. Out of humility is thinking, why should I think that I'm so fortunate that this great soul will stay in my home for a long time. They may just come and they just go. And if I don't inquire from them what is the supreme good, I'll miss this opportunity. I will not be able to benefit. So actually, when we talk about the association of devotees, especially association with very advanced pure devotees, we're not talking about the quantity of the association, but more so the quality. Like many of the present day leaders in ISKCON, many of them didn't have much association with Sri Prabhupada. They may just have a few moments, or maybe just even from a distance. They may not even have that kind of personal contact with Prabhupada. But they took that as whatever little association they have, they took it very seriously. They benefit from that association. And thus, they're able to make advancement and conquer over birth, old age, disease and death. What we inquire is how to conquer over the greatest fear, The material world is full of fear. The Prabhupada said that eating, sleeping, mating, defending, that is a fear. But out of all this fear, is defending is the most prominent. To defend all the eating, the sleeping, the mating. That's why people have so many arrangements to protect their wealth, to protect their whatever they have for the sense gratification. All kinds of arrangements they make. So that's a great fear. And of course in the Bhagavad Gita, stated, what is the greatest fear? Nehabi kramana sosi pratyavaya navichate swapam apyasya damasya trate mahato bhaya. The greatest fear is to fall down again from the human form. Because only in the human form, although it's like Prahlad Maharaj said, although this human form is very rare, although it's temporary, yet it is very rare. Because only in this human form of life we can inquire about the Absolute Truth. Only in this human form of life we can use this as a platform, as a springboard to go back home, back to Godhead. And we should not think that, no, I'm a devotee, I will not fall down again to the lower species. They've been in Srimad Bhagavatam, the history. Bharat Maharaj, he was not careful. He took birth as a deer. Although he was a very enlightened deer. Still, he took birth as a deer. So that is a fear. And that we have. And Prabhupada also said, they say the difference between me and you, says that I'm fearful of Maya. I keep it at a distance. Sometimes we underestimate the power of the material energy. Therefore, we play with fire. Just like a child, you do not fully understand the power of fire, you play with fire. So I'll play and then they burnt. Just like my son, when we first moved to Auckland, in the farm in Auckland, after a few months, he and one of his good coolie friends were in the forest and they were playing with fire. They almost burned down the forest. There was this pokiko, you know, this bird, and there was this small little baby bird running, and others was attacking it. They were trying to save it. So they were trying to save and they could not get it out. So they thought, we'll just light up the fire and smoke it out. and then there was this wind came, whoo, and got out of control. And the glass all started burning. And it ended up with two fire engines coming. That's scary. Luckily, we know the chief, the fireman chief, so we didn't get a fine. So just get the fire, not careful. Careless, just poof. And they were scared. I said, oh, they were really scared. They came home hiding under the blanket. So now we often underestimate, and therefore our progress in Krishna consciousness is checked, and we do not appreciate as much the association of devotees. We take things for granted, in other words. It is very easy to lose focus, because when we are in the material world, there are so many distractions. There's so many demands of the body, so many demands of the mind. So many demands are there. And if we are not focused on the goal of life, very easily we get distracted. Very easily just get yanked away. That's why if you read any biography of any great person, whatever great things people achieve, There's one thing common about them. They are very focused. Very, very focused. Even the materialists, if their goal is just to make money or whatever, they are very focused. And anything that comes in the way, they just... And they're willing to sacrifice a lot just to get to where they want to be. So as devotees, we have to be very, very clear what our goal is. Where do we want to be at the time of death? That's the final test. As soon as you lose focus, mind will just and we are sidetracked. It's just like we're going on the highway to Sydney. Along the way, there's so many sidetracks, so many distractions, some sightseeing. And it's a nice area for a picnic. And so many signs are pointing here, go there, isn't it? So we are on the highway, Krishna conscious highway. Along the way, so many distractions, so many signs pointing this way, that way, this way, that way. But if we are not focused, if we get on the highway, we don't know where we are going, it's very easy to take one of these sidetracks. So that's why it requires constant reminder. And that's what we want to inquire, to strengthen that desire in our heart. When we get the association of senior devotees, advanced devotees, we want to immediately inquire from them, how can I make progress? How can I make further progress in my Krishna consciousness? That should be the question that is most utmost in my mind. That's the question we ask. That's how we benefit from the association. So when we have that kind of attitude, then the quality of the association is very good. And it does not require a lot. Even a momentary association, one can benefit from it. That's why in the Chaitanya Charitamrita I say that sadhu sangha, sava sasrikhoi, lava matra sadhu sangha, sava siddhihoi. Even by a momentary association, what is that? Lava is like the 11th of a moment, right? One can attain all perfection. And we see that in so many of our very senior devotees in the movement, our leaders in the movement. Many of them, they do not have very much association with Sri Prabhupada. Even Devamrita Maharaj used to tell me, he didn't have very much association with Prabhupada. There's a few, like usually from he was not one of those leaders in those days. But that's why the association, short association, and especially association through his books, association through his instruction, because the Vaishnava never died. He lived behind his instructions. In this way, I live forever. Prabhupada said, I live forever in my books, in my instructions. So the association is there for guidance. In this way, one can benefit so much. So we have to remember, no small talk in the association. We try to benefit. But unless we are clear in our mind what we want and what the goal of life is, we will not know how to properly associate or what kind of questions to ask. So, and this is actually the real benedictions of the pure devotees. When they come, they're going everywhere they travel, and it's just to inspire people in general to become Krishna conscious. This is real mercy. It's because it is lasting. It's not just some temporary welfare work, some temporary just feeding the poor, feeding the needy, helping the sick. There's so many welfare activities going on. And if someone devotes their time to any of these activities, they are glorified to be great personality. So, but the pure devotees' real benediction is to break the cycle of repeated birth and death, to break the cycle of samsara. That's real benediction. It's just like if someone is a, if a child is lost his way, you can feed the child, you can give a child shelter, you can clothe him. But what is the best thing you can do for him? To bring him back to the parents. That's where he belongs. So Krishna is the supreme father of all living beings. When we bring people back to Krishna, reconnect them back to Krishna, that's the real benediction. That's real mercy. Not some sentimental idea of what is mercy. And see, if we understand also what real mercy is, we also know how to act and deal with others. Sometimes people tend to be sentimental. Oh, Prabhu, it's alright. You know. I understand. I empathize with you. Sometimes it can get a little too far if we try to apply sometimes this material skills of counseling and all this. It helps if we know how to properly apply it. But sometimes it get a bit too sentimental. Yeah. Oh. Sometimes, like a surgeon, he see a disease is spreading. You have to cut. You have to use a knife and cut it off. Not just, oh, it's all right. Don't worry. Give you some painkiller. Everything will be fine. So sometimes, that's why guru sometimes known also heavy. His words can be very cutting. It depends on how deep rooted our disease is. So the cutting words sometimes is good. It just cut and it hurts for a while and then it's gone. It's removed. It's like a hot knife cutting right through butter. That's the potency of the pure devotee of the Lord. And that's why it's used this word here, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, is anaga, O sinless ones. It indicates that the nine Navayogindras, they were completely free of sins, and not only that, but he one has a fortune of seeing them or hearing from them, one can also become free from all sins. And that's why the pure devotee of the Lord is glorified throughout the three worlds. They say that they even purify places of pilgrimage. I think if I remember the story, was it about Ganga? That by taking bath in the Ganga, one becomes free from sinful reaction. And then Ganga was worried. If all everyone come and take bath here, then there's going to be accumulated so much sinful reaction. And she was given the assurance when the pure devotee, was it pure devotee come and take bath, she also be relieved. She'll be relieved from that. So that's the power and potency of the pure devotee. So much potency is there. So one has to learn to appreciate that. By appreciating that, then one will be able to take proper association and make proper inquiries. So it all boils down to quality, not just the quantity. Because when devotees come together, what is the real pleasure of the devotees? It's when they talk and discuss about Krishna. Machita mata machita makata prana bodhayantas parashpram katayantas samamnicham tusyanticha ramanticha. This is where the devotees derive their pleasure. When they come together, they just talk about Krishna, inquire about Krishna. Inquire about the topics of transcendental knowledge. In this way, as the exchange of transcendental knowledge, it just increases the bliss of the devotees. Very often people, they cannot understand. They're very, very difficult for people to understand, the materialists to understand the life of a devotees. How? Like in the long time ago there is this article in Back to Godhead, because it's court cases, the deprogrammers, where they kidnap devotees and then try to deprogram them, and court cases and all these things. And one of the things they accuse about the children said, they're not allowed to watch TVs. The big thing, not allowed to watch TVs. You know, where do you, what kind of life is this? Where do you get your enjoyment? You don't do this, you don't do that, you don't do anything. It must be so boring. It must be so deprived. You're not doing any of the things that we are doing in society where we get fun from. Where do you get your fun? Where often you get people ask these questions? Right? Very common. And they can't appreciate because they think happiness means doing all the things that the advertisement is telling them to do. And that's what this advertisement is doing, just pulling at their emotions. That if you don't get this, you're lacking in something. That's why you're not happy. If you don't get the iPhone, you're not going to be happy. You have to get the latest gadgets. And now the latest gadget coming out is a G phone, a Google phone. They just one touch, you can get access to the internet. So all these things, people think, if you don't do all these things, then what do you do? What do you do? But they cannot. They are just like this guy in Bhagavad Gita. It's just like trying to taste the honey just by observing it. Honey tastes good? Really? Why? What do you mean? How do you do it? No, there's no access. One will not understand unless they really open the bottle and really taste it. Unless one really tastes the nectar of devotional service, they will not be able to appreciate why devotees are dissatisfied, even though they may not be engaged in all those activities that normal people, they're actually not normal, abnormal people are doing. They can't appreciate that fact. So that's where devotees derive their pleasure. That's why discussing one another about Krishna, Krishna Katha, engaging in devotional service with one another, joyfully chanting, dancing, kirtan with one another. Just performing the Sankirtan, taking part in the Sankirtan movement. It creates so much joy and satisfaction. Isn't it? Anyone, any preacher knows that when you either you give class and it's appreciated, by the audience, there's good reciprocation, or you're preaching to someone and this person is able to, reciprocate with you or appreciate, you feel so much joy and satisfaction that you think, what more can I ask for? What more in life can I ask for? This is it. You get so much satisfaction just talking about Krishna and sharing with someone about Krishna consciousness. Or even just hearing someone talk about Krishna, you appreciate that. It's just so much joy and satisfaction there. And that you can explain until the cow come home to a materialist, and he will not understand. They will not understand it. Therefore, it's understandable for devotees. They appreciate this point that the power of the association of pure devotees, very very powerful association. In fact, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his 64 principles of devotional service, out of 64, he pointed out five main ones. And the first one he listed was the association of devotees, chanting of the holy name, living in the holy dham, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Can we sign it? Worshipping the deities. Yeah, it's five. But the first one listed was association of devotees. Because in the association of devotees, all the others are there. In the association of devotees, the worship of the deity is there. Especially in the association of pure devotees, wherever there is pure devotee, that's holy Dham. Because Krishna resides in the heart of pure devotee. The hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting of holy names are also there. So everything is there in the association of pure devotees. Complete. It's a complete process. So therefore it's very important we learn how to properly associate with the pure devotees. To hear from them, even just by remembering their saintly behavior. Then one's tendency to bind himself in the illusion of sense gratification is diminished. And one becomes eager to serve the Supreme Lord. So, thank you very much. And any questions or comments? Yes.
By worshipping the deities, how one develops the love for Krishna, how it increases the mechanism. Can you tell us something in a few words?
Let's put it the other way. You are a very experienced man.
Yeah. But you can tell us your experience.
No, I'm just using you as an example. Okay? You probably come from a generation, or even nowadays, the marriage is arranged. Right? When you are married, you hardly know one another. How does that relation develop? The love develop? Because you're serving one another. So by worshipping Krishna, by regularly serving Krishna, gradually develop love for Krishna.
So service is the main
thing? Yes, it's always based on service. We are the servant. That's why it's called devotional service. Service performed with devotion. And by regularly worshipping with deities, you develop a relationship with the devotees. Or with the deities.
So similarly, by serving the pure devotee, we get into the mode of...
Yeah, everything develops. The faith also develops. And all relations just based on love. It's a loving relationship.
So strong faith, determination.
And everything will come. This one story was given. Someone once asked his guru, how can I recognize a pure devotee? How do I find a pure devotee? He said, you go to the marketplace and you take a leaf in front of your eyes and you look. The one you see is a pure devotee. So he went to the marketplace and he looked. He came back and said, I don't see any. He said, that's right. It's very rare. And it's also take a pure devotee to recognize another pure devotee. It takes a pure devotee to recognize another pure devotee.
But you said that only by association with the pure devotee.
Yeah.
Can
so the qualities are described in the Bhagavatam. If you see someone who is fully engaged in Krishna service, right? Always engaged in Krishna service, there's no material attachment. But the thing is that it's not that we just only have to look for the pure devotees. Anyone who is more advanced, we can take association and learn from. By hearing, by serving. There are two things you can do with any devotee, whether more advanced or whatever. You can want to be just friend, that's also alright. But if you just want to be just friendship, you may miss the opportunity to learn. Because when it becomes between friends, sometimes you don't take one another too seriously. Hmm. You want to be just buddy-buddy chat? And he will just be just buddy-buddy with you. Hmm. But you take a humble position, then you get instructions. You read Prabhupada's book, then you will be able to recognize the qualities of the pure devotee.
What you're saying is that by reading
Lilamrita,
if we read, then we can see how much sacrifice he has done. He has not achieved the material thing at all. Completely 100%.
When I read Prabhupada Lilamrita, I mean, amongst other things, one of the things most prominent that I pick up from is how Prabhupada served his spiritual master. How much devotion, how much dedication he has to the mission of his spiritual master. And there's another, it's not Prabhupada. He never had a very much association with Sri Bhaktisiddhanta. He was not considered like one of the inner circle. He was a grihastha, he was running his businesses. Although he was taking part in the temple program, he was always very good to preach. But he was not considered one of the inner circle. But he turned out to be the one who actually carried out the mission of Sri Bhaktisiddhanta. And Sri Bhaktisiddhanta just gave him a few instructions. Just only a few instructions. Yeah. Basically the instruction was the same from the first time they met. The educated young man, so you should preach this message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the English speaking world. And he went beyond that. Beyond the English speaking world. And another instruction is that if you ever have money, print books. And Prabhupada just dedicated his life to doing that. And it was successful. Very successful. Sometimes we hear about devotees and the guru come, they have darshan. Every time they go and say, Guru Maharaj, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? He already told you the last time what he wants you to do. And every time it's the same question, what do you want me to do? Well, I mentioned one thing is Dharmarita Maharaj, Vyasapurti on the 4th October. In the old days, we used to do marathons before Vyasapurti. Now maybe not, but you can do your own marathon. But it was service you're doing. That's the best offering. Whatever service you are, whatever just your internally, the meditation, do your own marathon. And then offer that on Vyasa Puja Day. Have that calm meditation when you're doing this service in the next couple of weeks. Next 10 days actually. Right? 10 days? Yeah. Have that meditation. And Shri Prabhupada ki jai.